morning. Are you glad to be in God's house? Amen. For 20 plus years as a pastor, did this every Sunday. I would stand up and say, if you're glad to be in God's house, you need to smile real big. And I think God's people ought to be the happiest people in the world. We go through trials, we go through hard times, we go through hardships, but we don't go through those times alone. And so I think we ought to be happy people. But if you're glad to be here, just turn to the person beside you and tell them you love them. Would you do that? I preach a whole lot better and longer when people are smiling. See, now all of y'all are smiling, so that's good. But it is a joy to be with you today. I appreciate the invitation from your pastor. He's a dear friend. I love him. He's a brother in Christ, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I always love to come. Brother Ray is a dear friend. I've known Ray for a long time, and so it's always a joy to come to College Street Baptist Church. So thank you so much for the invitation to be here. My assignment today is to share some thoughts with you in a message I have put together. I've shared it with our pastors, many of our pastors. I've shared it in several of our churches. Even churches outside of our association have asked that I come and share it. It's just basically the reality check of the church today. So I want to share some things with you today concerning the church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the church collectively. I'm not talking about College Street Baptist Church. I'm talking about the church. I've been the director of mission of this association for 9.5 years. And when I came, I grew up in this area. Seneca was home and Oconee was home and I grew up here. So when I came, one of the first things I did 9.5 years ago was to begin to look back at where we were as churches as an association. And I discovered that for 10 years prior to my coming, there had been a 23% decrease in attendance in our churches. For 10 years prior to my coming. Now, I've been here 9.5. So that's 19.5 years ago. And so as I began to look at some statistics and some numbers and some things, we began a journey of praying, spiritual awakening in our churches. We began to pray that God would do something in our churches. But in recent days, over the last year or so, I've put together a presentation that's called The Unbuckling of the Bible Belt. How many of y'all have heard that phrase, the Bible Belt? We were blessed to grow up in the Bible Belt, amen? I was born in 1960, and man, I thought everybody, Wes and Seneca in 1960, I thought everybody went to church. I mean, we would come out of our house on Sunday morning and get in our car, and we would pull out of the driveway and wave to our neighbors as they were pulling out of their driveway. I thought everybody went to church in Oconee County in the 60s. And I grew up in Utica Baptist Church. And my mom and dad, they always had us in church. Y'all remember the Sunday school perfect attendance pens? Y'all remember those? When I went to college, my mom, boy, whether or not we were going to church was never up for vote or discussion in our house. You didn't ask my dad, are we going to church tomorrow? You didn't ask that question. When I went to college as a freshman in college, I went to college to play ball. And when I went to college, I had 18 years perfect attendance in church. Never missed a Sunday. And so I understand church, and I grew up in the church, and I grew up in Oconee County. And so I understand that. But growing up in the Bible Belt, I just thought everybody went to church. It was just what everybody did. And so I remember what I call the good old days. The Bible Belt, for those of you that may not be familiar with that phrase, is a region of the country from Texas down through the South and on up the East Coast a little bit where the Word of God is important, where faith is important, where church is important, where your walk with God and your commitment to God really mattered. And so growing up in the Bible Belt, we were blessed to live in the Bible Belt. God mattered. Church mattered. Morality mattered. The way you live mattered. Faith mattered. God's Word mattered. Life was good. And many of you remember those days of growing up in the Bible Belt. I remember growing up in Utica Baptist Church. And I remember children's church. We would have 60, 70 kids in children's church. We had back in the day in the 60s and 70s, y'all remember it, y'all had it too probably. We had the bus ministry. Y'all remember the bus ministry? We had 3 or 4 of these big old buses. And when I was in high school, I even drove one of those buses and we'd pick kids up on Sundays. And I remember the good old days, the Bible Belt days. But can I tell you something, folks? And hear me say this again. Collectively, I want you to understand I'm talking about the church collectively. I told my wife this morning as I As I've shared this message several times in different churches, it's a discouraging message to have to share. It's somewhat depressing. It's not happy clappy. It's present. Here it is. Listen to this. It is present reality of where we are. It's present reality. Tom Rainer has written books. He does church consulting. And one of the things that Tom Rainer wrote is he goes around to a lot of churches and does consulting in churches. And he says, the thing that jumps out to me the most is I can go to a church that has been in decline, like a set of stairs, that has been in decline for a number of years. And most of the people that make up the church don't even know it. And so this message is basically present reality of where we are. You see, 9.5 years ago when I came, we had 69 churches in our association. Today we have 64. And we've got a dozen more that are considered at risk. Now let that sink in for a moment. We had 69 churches 9.5 years ago. 69. Today we have 64. And 12 of those 64 are considered at risk. You're considered an at-risk church if you're running below, and this is a strange number, I know. I didn't come up with it. It came from the state convention. But if your church is running 26 people or less, you're considered at risk. Well, we've got 12 of those in the 64 that we have. And so we began to look. And the thing that really spurred this message of the unbuckling of the Bible belt and what's going on, and I began to dive into this thing. How can I, as director of missions, help our churches, walk with pastors, assist our churches as we're going through these challenging times? And I got to tell you, folks, listen, I came here, and Brother Ken was moderator when I came, so he remembers when I came. But 9.5 years ago when I came as director of missions of this association, I didn't come to help close churches. But hear my heart today. I'm now going to trainings. The directors of missions in this state are now going to be trained in how to close churches with dignity. It's a different day. Folks, hear my heart. The good old days, growing up in the Bible Belt, when everybody went to church, those days are long gone. Those days are long gone. We no longer live in the Bible Belt even. I can show you that. I can prove that fact to you. But those days are long gone. In the last 50 years, everything has changed. None of those things really matter anymore. Everything has changed. And the problem with that that I've discovered as I preach in a different church about every Sunday is most of the people in our pews are not aware of what's going on in our churches. I want you to look at the population of Oconee County. 76,408 people. That's our population. From surveys that have been done, from census data, those who consider themselves Christian is only 46%. Folks, do you realize that in Oconee County, those of us in the Christian community, those of us who consider themselves to be Christians, are now in a minority in our own county? Less than half of our population considers themselves to be Christians. And then look at the next one. Is it important to attend church? Of the 76,000 people that make up our county, only 17% of our population says it's even important to come to church. Those Bible Belt days, the good old days, they're long gone. They're long gone. 17% of our population says it's even important to attend church. And then the final one there is faith is important to me is even less. Only a little over 12,000 people, a little over 12,000 people out of 76,000 in Oconee County even say that their faith is important to them. Wow. Can I take a commercial break and just make a statement? Watch this. This is free. This won't cost you anything. This is just a public service announcement from the director of mission. You look at those statistics and only 12,000 people out of 76,000 even say their faith is important to them. And our churches are declining. 69, 68, 67, 66, 65, 64, 12 more at risk. And what I hear oftentimes as a director of mission is simply this. Brother David, our church just didn't grow, It's got to be the pastor or the staff's fault. Folks, when only 16% of our population says their faith is even important to them, we're living in a different day. Amen? You need to understand this. We're living in a different day, and I call this the unbuckling of the Bible belt. We live in a place now where, look, reality, this is simply reality is all this is. I told my wife riding up here this morning, I said, man, this is a tough message to preach. I'd much rather preach messages where people are smiling and happy. But this is a tough message to preach. But somebody needs to say, the Bible Belt is no more. Faith no longer matters in this county. It's a different day. And churches are declining. It looks just like a set of stairs. The growth in a lot of churches, or the lack of growth, looks like a set of stairs to where it gets down to now where we're training directors of mission at the South Carolina Baptist Convention in how to close churches with dignity. It's a challenging day. And I want you to notice the statistics there. Now, let's just narrow it down to the Beaver Dam Baptist Association. Here's another slide. See the population. If you took the membership in the Beaver Dam Baptist Association churches, our population, that makes up about 23%. We have about 17,800 people who are members of Beaver Dam Baptist churches. When I came, that was almost 22,000. Okay? The average worship attendance, about 7.5% of our population are in a Beaver Dam Baptist Association church this morning. 7.5%. And I remember the day when I first started preaching, and I know Ken remembers this, you had the old Andy Anderson growth spiral, and everybody was talking about the importance of Sunday school, and if you got a strong Sunday school, you build a strong church. 5% of our population attends Sunday school now. 5%. It's a different day. It's a challenging day. And again, this isn't reflective of College Street Baptist Church. I'm showing you the churches in Oconee County. I don't want you to leave here today and say, boy, he just tore. I just want you to know what's going on in the churches, plural. This is where we are. This is the present reality. Now, there's just a few more slides, and we'll be done with the slides. But very quickly, this is the membership over the past 10 years in Beaver Dam Baptist Association churches. Now, I want you to notice the trajectory of that graph, because every chart that I'm going to show you looks the exact same way. Every one of them. This is the last 10 years. If we were talking about a business, if we were business owners, and I had said, well, we're down 3,214 or 15.5% over the last 10 years. You'd say, boy, that isn't good. That's the membership in our churches right there over the last 10 years. Here is the baptisms. They're down 33.8% over the last 10 years. Can I make a statement to you? Again, I'm just sharing information. I went to a director of missions training recently in Columbia where we were given some of the latest statistics. Very discouraging. And do you realize there was a time where if you did a demographic survey of Wahala, for example, you would see that the majority of people, this is the way it's always been, the majority of people in Wahala prefer the Baptist faith. And then it may be the Methodist and on down the line. Do you realize the largest group of people now, there's a new category they've come up with in South Carolina? The largest group of people in South Carolina are now referred to as the nuns and the duns. The nuns and the duns. You say, well, what is that? What's your religious affiliation? None. Why not? I'm done. That's the largest group of people in our state. The nuns and the duns. It's a state problem. It's an Oconee County problem. It's a Beaver Dam Baptist Association problem. And what I'm trying to do is get folks to understand the present reality of where we are. You see, if we understand the present reality, it'll help us implement a game plan. Hopefully that'll change. Worship attendance, very quickly, it's down 30% in the last 10 years in the Beaver Dam Baptist Association. Worship attendance. Sunday school, down almost 35% in the last 10 years. in the Beaver Dam Baptist Association. It's every single chart that we keep up with, it's going in the same direction. Folks, I want you to hear my heart today. I'm not trying to be super spiritual, but as your director of missions, I'm trying to let people know that our churches are in trouble. Now, you're blessed here. You're blessed here. Let me just back up and say that. You've got a wonderful pastor. You've got a wonderful worship leader. You've got a wonderful staff. You folks are blessed here. And the challenge with the blessings that you have is to miss what's going on around this county. You're blessed. When I say there's 12 churches that are running 26 or less, and you say, well, we're nowhere near that. Thank God. Amen? Thank God. But you need to understand that it is a rampant problem in this county. And it's a challenging problem, and I've shed tears over it, and I've lost sleep over it. I've been burdened over it. Here's the present reality from the conference I went to recently, a Directors of Mission Conference at the South Carolina Baptist Convention. We're through with the chart there. Just watch this. 3 out of 4 South Carolinians have no connection with the church. 3 out of 4. There's 5.1 million people. 5.1 million people that live in South Carolina. And 3.6 million of them are totally unreached. 3.6 million people are unreached in South Carolina. 3 out of 4 have no connection with the church. When it comes to churches in the South Carolina Baptist Convention, their statistics, not mine. When it comes to churches in our state, we're closing churches faster than we're starting new ones. 80% of our 2,100 churches have plateaued or declined. 80%. That's 1,700 churches. Watch this. 2,100 churches is how many we have in South Carolina Baptist Convention. 1,700 of those churches have plateaued, leveled out, or they're in decline. Present reality. Present reality. It's not a pretty picture. It's not a pretty picture. And this is something that was interesting. Churches have lifespans. This was something that was shared at one of the latest DOM conferences concerning the unbuckling of this Bible Belt as part of helping us understand and grasp the reality of it. Churches have lifespans. The first quarter, it's like a ball game, Ray. It's like a ball game. First quarter, second quarter, third quarter. Wes, you play football, fourth quarter. The first quarter of life is how many members, if you're here and you're under 20 years of age, raise your hand. 3 hands. Okay, that's the first quarter. If you're between 20 and 40 years old, raise your hand. Okay, if you're between 40 and 60 years old, that's the third quarter. Okay, if you're 60 or over, that's the fourth quarter. Look, this is not, this is something I want you to see. It's present reality. The Southern Baptist Convention calls it the graying of our denomination. The graying of our denomination. We're getting older. We're getting older. And our churches, many of them are in decline. And my whole point in sharing this with you folks is this is one of the most challenging times in the history of the church as far as Baptist faith. It's one of the most challenging times in the history of the church. So that's the present reality. What's our options? What's our options? Here's what we're doing. And let me just share this with you as a public service announcement from the association. That's the present reality. Thank God you're not there. Thank God that you're not running 26 or less. Thank God for that. But here's the present reality, and here's the option. What we're learning to do now is something called revitalization. That is becoming a big deal, trying to revitalize churches. If your church has a good name, a good testimony, a good witness, and enough people to do the work that needs to be done, you can revitalize a church, and these trends that are going like this can turn around and start going the other direction. So revitalization is an option. This November, we're going to have a revitalization conference. We've invited associations all over the state to come. We're hosting it here in our association. Every year, the state convention allots us grant money. And we can take that grant money and apply it to whatever they have to approve it. This year, we're having a fall revitalization conference. Let me just tell you a quick story of how God worked this out. This has become a passion for us. This has become something because of the state of our churches, all right? That's where it's at. What are we going to do to fix it? Amen? What are we going to do to change it? What are we going to do to celebrate what God can do in the life of our churches? So we're going to have a revitalization conference. Write this down, if you will. November the 3rd and 4th. November the 3rd and 4th. It's going to be on a Sunday afternoon, a Sunday night, and all day Monday. As I began to call around, I called all over the place asking people far wiser than I that have been directors of mission far longer than I. If you could pick one man from the whole country to come and lead this conference, who would you pick? Several of the men that I have utmost confidence in said, you need to get Jim Breeden to come. Jim Breeden. He's a director of missions at St. Louis Metro Association in St. Louis, Missouri. Said he is the best, Jim Breeden. And so if you can't get him, get a guy named Bob Bickford. He's also from Missouri. He writes all of the material that the North American Mission Board uses in church revitalization. Said either one of those would be great, Jim Breeden or Bob Bickford. So after we prayed through this thing and we planned it, we got it lined up, we got the date set, we got everything worked out, we got the grant money approved to pay for it, I called Jim Breeden and I told him who I was, what we were doing, what our challenge was, and I said, we want to address this issue in our association. I said, would you be willing to come and lead a conference in the fall? He said, I told God when he burned this passion in my heart about revitalization that I'd go anywhere the door opened. He said, I'd be more than honored to come. So November 3rd and 4th, Jim Breeden from Missouri is coming to lead this conference. Here's the funny part. He called me the next day and he said, Brother David, I was praying about that conference last night. And he said, I've got a good friend, said, would you mind if I brought somebody with me to help me lead this conference? I said, don't mind at all. I said, who is it? He said, well, his name's Bob Bickford. Only God, folks. Only God. Here's where we are. Here's the present reality. All right, let's address it. Let's hit it head on. What are we going to do to address this issue? Here's the greatest speakers in the country that can come and lead this. I call one. He agrees to come. And then he says the next day, can I bring the other one? That's a God thing. So November 3rd and 4th, we're having a church revitalization conference. It's going to be hosted at Seneca Baptist. They're going to host it on. Now, we're having it. If you look at your calendar, November 3rd is a Sunday. Why would you start a conference on a Sunday? It's going to be on Sunday afternoon. All right, now watch this. The reason we're starting it on Sunday afternoon is because half of our 64 churches in this county, the pastors are bivocational. They work on Monday. And so we're starting it on Sunday where our bivocational pastors can come and participate in it. And then on Sunday night, we're going to have a joint service. We're inviting all the churches of the association to come, and we're going to have a joint service. And either Bob or Jim will speak that night at Seneca Baptist. And then all day on Monday, we'll have the conference there at Seneca Baptist. So we're excited about that, and we're looking forward to that. But we feel like, based on where things are, folks, listen to me, the Bible Belt has been unbuckled. Those days are gone. Now, are we influenced by the past? Absolutely. Man, I thank God for growing up in Utica Baptist Church. I thank God for the children's church and the Sunday school and the youth ministry, the student ministry. I thank God for all of that. But I want you to understand, it's a different day today. And not everybody goes to church on Sunday morning. Not everybody pulls out the driveway and waves at everybody as they're pulling out. And so it's a day of challenge for our churches. And so what we're going to do is we're going to try to address that. Let me just share with you very quickly. I know time is getting gone. As I minister in churches all over this county, there is a plethora of reasons why many of our churches are in the shape they're in. There's a whole wide range of reasons why our churches are in the shape that they're in. Some of them, hear me say this, some of them have left their first love. That's sad. Some of the churches that are struggling today are having issues of control. There was a day back in the 60s and 70s and early 80s when theology was the big issue in churches. Theology. Today, the biggest issue, the number one problem in churches today, as far as problems in churches, is control. And so some of our churches are struggling with that. For me personally, just in trying to help churches, the thing I've noticed is many of our churches have forgotten all about Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And the disciples answered, well, they say you're one of the Old Testament prophets. And then Jesus asked one of the greatest questions in the Bible. Jesus said, who do you say I am? You remember that passage? Who do you say I am? And old Peter, he spoke up and he said, well, you're Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. And Jesus said, and upon that, watch this, and upon that I am the Son of God, upon that I will build what? My church. With all the love in my heart, hear me say this. I'm just being transparent. I told you this was a message of present reality. With all the love in my heart, one of the problems that I have discovered in churches today is that we have forgotten that it's His church. It's His church. He's the head of the church. We read that in Colossians, the head of the church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. And the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. I was helping a church, won't name it by any means, but a few years ago I was helping a church through a problem. And there were several people in the room. And shared with them that passage about Matthew 16. Jesus said, the gates of hell won't prevail against my church. And one of the fellows spoke up and he said, Brother David, I understand the Bible. I believe the Bible. I know it's God's word. But the Bible says the gates of Hades won't prevail against our church. Why are we going through what we're going through? And here was my answer. Jesus said the gates of Hades won't prevail against my church. They'll run all over your church. They'll run all over your church. The room got quiet. You see, with all the love in my heart, and I'm talking again, not to College Street, but I'm talking about churches as director of mission responsible for these 64. Hear my heart. We have turned with all the love in my heart, and I say this with a broken heart, but we've turned many of our churches, not all, thank God not all, but we've turned many of our churches into Burger Kings. Well, what's the theme of Burger King? Have it your way. I had another church. I won't betray confidentiality for any reason. I was helping through a problem. And I was asked a question. And I went to the Word of God. And by the way, this is a commercial break too. But this is your church growth manual. Lifeway's closed, but you don't have to go to Lifeway and order a church growth manual. This is it. I remember when I went to seminary, I went to New Orleans, and Dr. Don Wilton was my evangelism professor. First class I ever took in seminary was Don Wilton, pastor at First Baptist Spartanburg. I was scared to death. I'd been out of college for years and was over the Seneca Recreation Department, athletic part of that, and God called me into ministry, and I went to seminary, and the first class was Don Wilton's evangelism class. You go in there, and you look at the list of the books that were required. We all went to the store there on campus and bought all the textbooks that was on the list. We got in that first day of seminary class. Dr. Wilton came in and didn't know it. And he said, okay, gentlemen, open up your church growth manual. And everybody's looking at each other. Did you get that book? That wasn't on the list. That wasn't one of the required books. I didn't get that. Did you get that? He started laughing. He said, my work is cut out for me. Do you have a Bible? This is your church growth manual. I met with this church and they were having issues and they asked me a question and I went to the church growth manual and answered it straight from Scripture. Talking about the Burger King part. And a man in the meeting said this. Well, Brother David, we know what the Bible says here. But at, and he named his church, at such and such Baptist church, we do it this way. Burger King. And while we've turned some of our churches into Burger Kings, And while we've forgotten Christ is the head of the church, and while we argue over control, and while we forget that he said, I'll build my church, while we forget those things and we argue and we do things our way, 69 becomes 68, 67, 66, 65, 64, and 12 more at risk. Folks, it's time we got back to the church growth manual. It's time we gave the church back to God. The Bible belt's unbuckled. It's unbuckled. Those of you that are older, you remember those days. You remember the good old days. The days when faith mattered, God's word mattered, church mattered. You remember those days. But I just showed you statistics in Oconee County. Those days are gone. I'm not content as a director of mission just to find me somewhere to retire. If I can stay there 5 more years, I'll retire. There's an issue going on in the churches in this county, and we've got to address it. Amen? I thank God for College Street Baptist Church. I love your pastor. He's an encourager to me, a friend to me. And by the way, another commercial break. Pastoring a church today has never been harder. I thank God for the men that influenced my life over the years, and it's always been hard. It's never been easy. But it's tough today, folks. It's tough today to pastor a church. You say, well, why do you make that statement? Because I'm a director of missions, and people say, hey, I want to stop by and see you one day. What's the best day to come by? I say, don't come by on Monday or Thursday. That's my busiest days. Why would Monday and Thursday be my busiest days? Because of Sunday and Wednesday. Y'all okay? You see, you wouldn't believe how many pastors are discouraged. You would not believe the challenges of pastoring today. Let me just, I don't think I've ever shared this with you. My time is gone, so let me hurry very quickly. I don't know if you realize this or not, but here's a statistic for you. The South Carolina Baptist Convention, I told you a moment ago, has 2,100 churches. Put that in your mind, 2,100. North Carolina has double that, 4,200. Double it. Georgia has 3,800, almost double. All right, so we're relatively small as a state convention in number of churches, our state. I don't know if you've ever heard this. Ken may have shared this with you. I don't know. But do you realize that even though we're one of the smallest state conventions, that the South Carolina Baptist Convention leads the nation in forced pastor terminations? More pastors are forced out of ministry in South Carolina than any other state. It's hard. I've had grown men in my office on Monday crying tears saying, if I can go to Walmart and get a job, I'd leave ministry today. Do you realize that when ministers start out today, young ministers, like when I went to Dr. Wilton's class in seminary, do you realize that when a young minister starts out today, 1 in 20 will finish in ministry? 1 out of 20. Latest statistics. Not only does the South Carolina Baptist Convention state lead the nation in forced pastor terminations, but even sadder than that, as sad as that is, our state leads the nation in pastoral suicide. So when I say pastoring is hard, it's tough. And I'll just say this, this is free of charge as well. It's because of unrealistic expectations from folks today that think pastors should do everything. I've got a letter that I've shared several times from a young lady named Michaela Sanders. I preached at chapel service at North Greenville University a few years ago when my daughter was a student there, and there was several thousand students there, and I got through with the message. They had had a death on the campus that week and had asked me to come and share because of what we had gone through as a family with the death of my wife's mom. I came and shared. How do you get through a time like that? What do you do? How do you face those times? After the chapel service, this young lady introduced herself. She was a friend of my daughter's, and long story short, Michaela was a preacher's kid, and her dad was a pastor here in South Carolina, and she came home one day and found him in a recliner. He had taken his life. And Michaela came and spoke to our pastors. After I became DOM, I had her come, and she spoke to our pastors here. But basically, she said this: he couldn't preach well enough, he couldn't visit enough, he couldn't counsel well enough, he couldn't attend enough meetings, he couldn't keep enough people happy. My daddy was made to feel like a failure. And she said this quote, "The church killed my daddy." Pastoring's hard. It's hard. And so I encourage you. This is free of charge. You need to love on Ken, Ray, those that serve you. Lauren, you need to let them know that you appreciate them. Amen? It's a challenging day. It's a challenging day to lead with everything that's going on. The unbuckling of the Bible belt. Here's my point, please, in closing. This message is concerning the churches of the Beaver Dam Association. We're trying to address it through the revitalization. But the real answer is going to be God's people crying out to God in prayer. In Isaiah 64, Isaiah was living in a day of very similar to our, where there was spiritual apathy and unconcern for the things of God, and he was burdened by it. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible, in Isaiah 64, dealing with very much like we're dealing with today. Isaiah, in desperation, everybody look, and I'm through, in desperation, fell before God. And he said this, listen to these words, Isaiah 64. He said, "Oh God, I pray that you would rend open the heavens and step out and make your presence known among your people." In paraphrase, he said, when you do that, the mountains will fall down and the mountains will tremble at your presence. And the fire will flow. And people will make your name known. My prayer for the last 9.5 years has been that God would rend open the heavens. And he would step out and make his presence known to our people. And the mountains would tremble. What happens when the mountains tremble? Things get shaken up. Hear me with all the love in my heart. I pray that God would shake our churches up. We need revival. We need spiritual awakening. We need to get back to understanding it's his church. He's the head of the church. The gates of Hades won't prevail against his church. Folks, what we've got to do is get back to the growth manual. We're doing all we can association-wise to address some of these issues. But it's a spiritual challenge. It's a spiritual issue. My final request for you today is please pray. Please pray for the churches of this county. Please pray for the men that lead these churches. Please pray that we can turn this thing around. Our churches are getting older. Our counties are getting more secular. The Bible Belt's coming off. We need to cry out to God in desperation. Would you join me as we pray? Father, I have preached what you've laid on my heart. Father, thank you that it's your church. We'll mess it up, God. But thank you that it's your church. Thank you, God, that you said the gates of Hades won't prevail against your church. God, thank you for the reminder that Jesus is the head of the church. Father, forgive us for what we've made many of our churches, not all of them, but many of them. God, forgive us that we've turned many of them into Burger Kings where we know what the Bible says, but at our church, we do it this way. God, forgive us. It's no wonder the belt's coming off, and it's no wonder that, Father, only a small percentage of our people even care about attending church anymore. God, we need spiritual awakening. We can't fix it. We can't plan it. We can't program it. We can't get speakers to come and wave a magic wand. God, it's a spiritual challenge. And so, God, I pray that the precious people of College Street Baptist Church today would hear the director of missions' heart and just know the challenge we're facing. God, thank you for this church, for its heritage, its history. Father, for the rich history this church has. It has sounded forth the gospel here for many, many years. Some great men of God have stood here and proclaimed your word. But God, I pray that today, God, that whatever we need to do, God, in churches of this association, I pray that you'll give us wisdom, insight, direction, and guidance. But Father, may we heed the example of Isaiah, who in desperation fell before you and said, "Oh God, rend open the heavens. Step out and make your presence known." In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Ken to stand here at the front. Brother Ray can come and lead us. an invitation. If nothing else, folks, would you pray for your church today? And as you pray for your church, would you pray for the other 63 churches in our association? That God would be magnified, exalted, glorified, and satisfied, and all of hell would be terrified. Amen? Let's stand as we have a closing.
Y'all have heard the message from David. It's sobering thoughts. You know, one time earlier this year, called everybody down to pray. David has called us to pray. If you're concerned for our church, I want you down front praying. That's the only thing that's going to turn us around. We have to give it back to God. Please join me. I'll open us up with prayer, and as you feel led, please pray. And Brother Ken, when you feel everybody's that wants to pray has prayed, please close us out. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for David, his ministry, Lord, in this county. We are seeing such a decline and trust in you, Lord. We want to be your city on a hill. We want to be your light, Lord, in this community. Lord, we ask for your will to be done, not ours, but yours. Please come alongside us, Lord. Lead us, guide us, direct us, Lord. All this I ask in Jesus' holy name.
Our Father, these are desperate times. We've watched as everything we hold dear, everything we trusted in, all that we believe, we've watched as it's been attacked. In some cases, it's been silenced. And the world we live in is not the world we were born in. The truth is that we have to hand over to the next generation. And we wonder, Lord, will they take it? Will they receive it? Will they even know it? Father, it's not about us. It's not about our legacy. It's not about who's come before us. It's you. It's your church. It's your body. It's your message. It's your glory. It's none of ours. The challenge is to give you back the reins of the church. Give you back our hearts. To learn of you the things that we have forgotten. To be reminded, God is love. Whatever the future holds, we know you hold it. The challenge is great. It's beyond our imagination. It's unbelievable at times. But Lord, if you'll take over, it'll be a great future. I thank you for the heart David has for churches in this association, this county, and really beyond. I thank you for allowing us to hear things we don't want to talk about, things we don't want to listen to, things we might not even be aware of. But now may our hearts, our minds, our spirits be opened unto you. Lead us, O God. Speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.